In response to some requests, we're going to be doing a series in anticipation of Yamim Noraim, but I picked something that I've never done before. I've taught the Akedah before, but never as a multi-part series and looking at it from different angles. Now, there's a lot of ways to do the Akedah in four sessions. One of them is to take different liturgical uses of the Akedah and see how the Akedah is used in Midrashim and in Piyutim and in Tfilot. Another is to look at the history of the Akedah specifically in the context of the Crusades, where it plays a major role. A third way, of course, would be very straightforward, which is to look at the Akedah and study it through, guided by different Mefarshim, four times. Rashi, the Rashbam, which is a whole different story, the Ramban, which is a whole different story. And to take maybe a Rav David Zvi Hoffman or Rav Hirsch, something a little more modern, take a little different take. I'm not going to do that. For this first session, I want to look at why Akedat Yitzchak is the Kriyat HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah. And it's not such a simple thing. And it's going to open up some trapdoors for us that we will be able to go down a little bit and leave open for further investigation. Anyways, without further ado, let's get started. This is Shiur number one of a four-part series on Akedat Yitzchak, and the topic of this shiur is the Akedah as the Torah reading for Rosh Hashanah. And the reason I titled the Hebrew Hilchot Hayom Shel Rosh Hashanah is, as you will see in the first source. The first source is a Mishnah in Masechet Megillah. We're going to spend a good part of our time in the Sugyot in the third parak of Megillah, which, by the way, in the Bavli is the fourth parak. You all know that Megillah in the Mishnah and the Yerushalmi, the third parak, and fourth Prakim, and the Bavli switches them. And there's a lot of interesting literature on why that's the case. But in any case, the Mishnah in the middle of the third Perek, which is devoted to Kriyat Torah, says, "B'Pesach Korin BeParshat Moadot SheBetorat Kohanim." What is the Kriyat Torah on Pesach? And it's unclear whether this means all of Pesach or the first day. We read the section in Emor that goes through all of the holidays. Ba'atzeret Shiva Shavuot. On Shavuot, what do we read? Shiva Shavuot, which is in Re'eh. We just heard it a couple of weeks ago, which is at the end of Re'eh. Shiva Shavuot Tisporlach, which is about Shavuot. By the way, what do we do on, let's say, on first day of Pesach? What do we read? Remember? Anybody? What's our Kriyat Torah on first day of Pesach?
Is it from Bo?
Yeah, it's from Bo. It's Yetziat Mitzrayim, Makat Bechorot. All right, what do we read on Shavuot?
Aser.
Not on
No,
Shavuot.
actually, I would say.
Yitro.
Where you do Yitro, Bachodesh HaShlishi. Second day, it's a different story, but we read Bachodesh HaShlishi. No, it'll come up in a second. Barosh Hashanah, what do we read? Bachodesh HaShvi, Bachad Bachodesh, which is in Parshat Emor, which is the law of Rosh Hashanah. Now, the reason I'm mentioning that is, as we'll see in a minute, that there is a broad approach to Kriyat HaTorah, which is that Kriyat HaTorah on each Chag must be about the laws of that Chag. And the end of this Mishnah says, Shenemar, V'adibar Moshe Mo'adei Adonai B'nei Yisrael, which is the end of that section in Emor, Mitzvatan Shiu Korin Kol Achad V'Achad Bizmano, which implies either directly or by way of an asmachta that either Moshe himself made an ordinance or we're associating it with this pasuk to publicly read about the laws of the holiday on that holiday. And so therefore on Pesach, you have to read the laws of Pesach, and on Shavuot, the laws of Shavuot, and Rosh Hashanah, the laws of Rosh Hashanah, right? Which is blow shofar, basically. Now, if you take a look at the Tosefta, you'll see an important expansion here, which is Sho'alin Hilchot Pesach BePesach, right? Hilchot Atzeret BAtzeret, Hilchot HaChag BaChag. This is not about Kriyat HaTorah. This is about the mode of teaching. Public teaching should be to study the laws of the Chag on that Chag. B'Veit HaVa'ad, Sho'alin Hilchot HaPesach, Kol HaPesach 30 Yom. But at the central Beit Midrash, what we would call Yavneh, 30 days before the holiday, you have to start discussing the laws of Pesach. Shem Gamliel Omer Shtei Shabbatot, famous Machloket, if it's 2 weeks for 4 weeks. Now, attendant to that is Yom HaRishon, Yom Tov Shirishon Shal Pesach, Korin Parshat HaNef, Shebetorat Kohanim. Parshat HaNef is about the Omer. In other words, on the first day of Pesach, the Kriyat HaTorah, it's like the Mishnah says, is from Parshat Moadot in Emor. Ushar kol yemot ha-Pesach medalgin minyanot ha-Pesach haktuvim ba-Torah. So the rest of Pesach, what do? You read sections about Pesach anywhere in the Torah. There's stuff about Pesach in Vayikra, and there's stuff in Pesach about Pesach in Bamidbar, and every book except Bereishit has stuff about Pesach. So you skip around, and by the implication of the Tosefta is, it's kind of up to you. Just make sure to read something about Pesach, right? And Batzeret Shiva Shavuot, V'yesh Omrim B'chodesh HaShlishi. Notice that in the Tosefta, there are two opinions about what you read on Shavuot. One of them is what the Mishnah said, which is the laws of Shavuot. And the other introduces, no, we read the history, the story of Matan Torah, B'chodesh HaShlishi. This, by the way, may be reflecting the development of viewing Shavuot as Man Matan Torah Teinu, which is, of course, very late. That may be happening here. Now, Barosh Shana, in some of the Girsot of the Tosefta, that's Barosh HaShanah. Barosh Shana, Daber B'nei Yisrael B'chodesh HaShvi'i B'chad HaChodesh, Yeh Lachem Shabbaton. Exactly what the Mishnah says. V'yesh Omrim V'Adonai Pakad Et Sarah. Right? There's a Yesh Omrim that the proper reading on Rosh Hashanah is the birth of Yitzchak and what follows from there. Okay, that's the Tosefta. And we've now seen both the Mishnah and the Tosefta on the reading of Rosh Hashanah. In the Mishnah, we saw one rule, which is the laws of Rosh Hashanah. In the Tosefta, we saw two approaches. The laws of Rosh Hashanah, or somehow the birth of Yitzchak, which, what does that have to do with anything? Now, the very end of Masechet Megillah has this braita, which is Moshe tikein lem li Yisrael shir shualim v'doshin b'inyan no shel yom. This is an expansion on that Mishnah we saw. Hilchot Pesach b'Pesach, Hilchot Atzeret b'Atzeret, Hilchot Chag b'Chag. And this is appended not to the laws of study, but rather to Kriyat HaTorah, meaning that the Kriyat HaTorah serves part of the function of the public teaching of those laws. Because, of course, not only are you going to hear the Torah's presentation of the laws, but anybody who gets up to explain the Kriyat HaTorah, as in like a public darshan, is going to then expand on those laws. So it serves that purpose beautifully, which, of course, raises the stakes greatly for us about Rosh Hashanah and parenthetically about Shavuot also. How come instead of the laws of the holiday, there is at least an alternative opinion in each case that it should be the history of the holiday? And when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, how does Pashem Pakad Tzarah fit in at all? So now I'm going to show you something. And again, like I mentioned, this may be one of the rabbit holes we may fall down. In the near the end of Masechet Megillah in the Bavli, we have the following braita quoted, which is a parallel to the Tosefta. Tanu Rabbanan. And I put I color coded so that the language of the braita itself is blue and a little bigger, and the Gemara's comments are in black and smaller. Tanu Rabbanan. The Pesach Korin v'Parshat Moadot. Umaftirin b'Pesach Gilgal. Now, that means first day of Pesach, what do we read? We read from Emor, what we would call Shor Chesed, the laws of the holidays. And the Haftarah is from Yehoshua Hay, when Bnei Israel did their Pesach when they first arrived in Israel. Okay. And now there's a comment. V'ha'idna di'ika tre yomi yomakama b'Pesach Gilgal ulemachar b'Pesach Yoshiyahu. Right? But now we have 2 days. Who's talking? Remember, this is a Tosefta or Braita. So who's talking? So this is clearly a comment in Bavel. And in Bavel, here, now we do 2 days. So what do? The first day we read Pesach Gilgal. Ulmachar Pesach Yoshiyahu. The next day we read from the story of the Korban Pesach that Yoshiyahu brought, which is in Malachim Bet Perakav Gimel, the rededicating of the Mikdash. And then the Braita goes on, Ushar Yimota Pesach, Malakate Vikore, Minyanosha Pesach. What do you do the rest of the Pesach? It's similar to the Tosefta that said, you find other things around the Torah that are about Pesach. Mahi, so the Gemara comments, now, what is that? Amar Papa Mapo Siman. And Rashi explains what Mapo is referring to, Mishchu Kulachem, etc. Four different readings about Pesach. And Yom Tov Acharon Shel Pesach Korin Vayhi B'Shalach U'Maftirin Vaydaber David. So what do we do on the last day of Pesach? We read Vayhi B'Shalach, and the Haftarah is David's song, because it's that song. Ulamachar, and this is a strange statement because this is still in Tosefta, meaning this is still in the Braita, which is still Eretz Yisrael, and they seem to be reflecting a later custom in Bavel, which is on the eighth day to read Kol HaBachor and Od Hayom. That's exactly what we do. Now, Amar Abaye. Now, I brought this whole piece because I want you to see that Abaye's role here. Ha'idna Nahug Alma Lamikre. Today, our custom is to read. My father taught me this when I was a kid. Meshach Torah Kaddish Pekasa Apostle Mandara Shalach Buchra, right? Which is something of a nonsensical little nursery rhyme, right? Pull the bull and sanctify with money. But it's a way of remembering me. Shu Kulachem Shoro Chesev Kadesh Li Kol Bechor Im Kesev Talvet Ami Psolacha Shnei Lechor, right? B'midbara is Pesach Sheni B'shalach and Kol HaBachor. That's a way of remembering the Kriyot HaTorah for Pesach. Now, notice that's Abaye's addition. Ba'atzeret, what does the Braita continue? Shiva Shavuot umaftirim b'Chavakuk. Chavakuk meaning the third chapter, which is the final chapter of Chavakuk, Tfilah l'Chavakuk. Acherim omrim, meaning there's a second opinion, b'Chodesh HaShlishi umaftirim b'Merkava. So what do we read on Shavuot, according to this other opinion? Matan Torah. And what's the Haftarah? The Merkava. Now you can see how the themes fit. Because at least in the case of the Merkava, it's a description of a great revelation, and that fits B'chodesh HaShlishi. V'ha'ina di'ika treyomi. And here's my question. Who's saying these words? V'ha'ina di'ika treyomi. Somebody's saying them. Now that we have 2 days, avdina k'davayu v'ipcha. We follow both opinions in the Braita, but we flip them. So that on the first day we read B'chodesh HaShlishi and do the Haftarah from the Merkava. And on the second day, we read Shiva Shavuot, which is what we do, and the Haftarah from Chavakuk, with our later edition of Yitziv Pitkam. Okay. Now, Berosh Hashanah, continuing with the Braita. B'chodesh HaShvim, Maftirin HaBein Yakir Li Ephraim, V'yesh Omrim, V'adonai Pakar Et Sarah, Maftirin Bechana. Right? So, there's a Yesh Omrim, that what do we read on Rosh Hashanah? And we saw this in the Tosefta. Hashem Pakar Et Sarah, the birth of Yitzchak. By the way, there's a version of the Tosefta that has the opposite. Barosh Hashanah Hashem Pakar Et Sarah V'yesh Omrim B'chodesh HaShvi. They flip it. But either way, there's two opinions. Umaftirim Bechana. Right? V'ha'idna di'ika treyomi. And now we have 2 days. Yom HaKama K'yesh Omrim. What do we do the first day? The Yesh Omrim, which is Hashem Pakar Et Sarah and Chana. Is that familiar to everybody? That's what we read on the first day? What do we read the second day? And this comes out of nowhere. Because remember, what did we have above? We had above two opinions, like for Shavuot. And we said, and now that we have 2 days, we can do both opinions. And we happen to flip. We take the Yeshomim first, and then the Tanakama second. Okay. Notice what happens here. There's two opinions about Rosh Hashanah. And so what do? On the first day, we do the Yeshomim, which is Hashem Pakar Et Sarah and after Avchana. And Lamachar, what do we do the next day? Out of nowhere, by Elohim Nisat Avraham, the Akedah. The Akedah comes out of nowhere here. Umaftirin Aven Yakir, which means we maintain the Haftarah that was suggested in the Braita for the first day, except we do it on the second day. And instead of B'chodesh HaShvi, we read the Akedah, which again came out of nowhere. So the question is, where's all this coming from? Now, before we go further, I just want to ask the question right here. V'ha'idna di'ika treyomi. Now that we have 2 days, in our day, now that we do 2 days of Yom Tov, which Yom Tov are we talking about here? Right here.
Rosh Hashanah.
2 days. Now we do 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. What does that mean? What do we do till now?
They did one, sometimes.
One day Rosh Hashanah, right? Now, that means that throughout the entire Mishnaic period and the Tosefta, because in the Tosefta, they're disagreeing about what to read on Rosh Hashanah. And nobody suggests, well, we got 2 days, we could do both, because there is no 2 days. And Ha'idna is in Bavel. In Bavel, now we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, so we do both of them. And I'd like to suggest that this for Ha'idna is a quote of Abaye. Abaye is the one who's saying Va'idna. Right? Look at Abaye. Ha'idna nohagoma, ha'idna dikatrayomi, ha'idna dikatrayomi. I think it's Abaye. It might be later than Abaye.
But you're saying in Bavel, they didn't have the 2 days originally?
That's right.
And at what point is this in history?
Third century, fourth century. It's pretty strange.
Why wouldn't they have had 2 days then?
Good question. Good question.
This whole concept of...
If you want, Haidna, I can read a little bit generously and read, not Haidna doesn't just mean now, it also means here. And it could mean, since here we have 2 days Yontif, therefore, da-da-da-da-da, but that does mean, and this is a smaller statement, but still big, that in Eretz Yisrael, all the way through this period, they had one day of Rosh Hashanah.
Right, which makes more sense.
It makes more sense, but not exactly, because we have a problem. If you recall, there's a famous Mishnah in Eruvin, Rabbi Dosef and Orkanah says that when the guy who's davening for the Omer on the first day of Rosh Hashanah says that Chanchileinu Yo Kadesha, sanctify this day if it's today or tomorrow. And then the next day he says, sanctify this day if it's today or if it was yesterday. And the Chazal Chachamim disagree. You don't make a tefillah like that. But the point is that they're picturing daven, Rosh Hashanah davening on 2 days. And it's pretty clear from the Mishnah and the Tosefta that the Kriyat HaTorah and all of the liturgical components of Rosh Hashanah are only on the one day. Just an interesting thing to point out, because Rosh Hashanah, as we all know, we have 2 days even in Yerushalayim. Right? The question is how that happened. I just, like I said, it's a rabbit hole I'm not going to go down, but it's an interesting one.
But 1 second, but it can't be 2 days in Israel now that that's when it switched?
No, the statement is a Bavli statement. At this point,
yeah, but it could have been representative for everybody. Or you're saying
probably not. We have pretty good evidence that they maintained one day Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael for quite a while after this.
Okay,
just point out just again an interesting thing, but not our main point. I just wanted to draw your attention to it. But now the main issue, of course, is how did Akedat Yitzchak get into the picture at all? You know, it's just to review quickly. We have the Mishnah that says you read the laws of Rosh Hashanah. Like every other holiday, you read the laws. Tosefta quotes a Yesh Omrim that says you read Hashem Pakar at Sarah. We got to figure out why that is. And then, unlike what the Bavli did with Shavuot, which is to say, well, now we got 2 days, we can solve, you know, make everybody happy. Instead, it said, on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the first day we do the Yesh Omrim, Hashem Pakar at Sarah. And the second day we do Akedat Yitzchak. Why? Where's that coming from? So I want to show you something before going into the details here. I want you to show you Kriyat HaTorah on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It's right in front of you, page 3. It's right from here. Hashem Pakar Atzara all the way to Ma'acha. This is it. Except for the Mafter, this is the whole thing. Take this page, print it, bring it to Shul. Save yourself some, leafing through Machzor. But notice that it's all one story. So I'm going to make the following suggestion from the get-go, which is that in the Tosefta, the opinion that Vashem Pakar Etzarah was the Kriyat HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah, it meant all of this. Vashem Pakar Etzarah and the Brit with Avimelech and the Akedah and the news about the birth of Rivka, the whole thing was the reading on Rosh Hashanah. And that then what happened is said, well, now that we have 2 days, let's take that reading and divide it into two parts, two sections. In other words, that the Akedah doesn't stand alone, that the Akedah is part of a larger picture, which starts with the birth of Yitzchak, and by the way, culminates with almost the death of Yitzchak, so it's like a full circle in that. But there's something much bigger going on in that picture, which then will help us understand why it was selected, it being the whole thing was selected as the Kriyat HaTorah for Rosh Hashanah. So to do that, I want to show you a couple of sources that are Midrashic sources about the Akedah, and then we'll double back and get back to the larger story and put it together. All right, the Midrash in Bereshit Rabbah, when Yitzchak, if you recall, wants to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim because there's a famine, and Hashem stops him, unlike Avraham, who was able to go. Hashem stops him and says, Gur ba'aretz hazot ve'yayim chavarecheka, you stay here, I'll bless you here, don't go to Mitzrayim. Rashi quotes this in an abbreviated form in his commentary on this pasuk. Hashem said to him, you are a perfect korban olah. Ma olah tmima miyatz'at chutz l'klaim hinifselet. Just like a proper olah, if it goes out of the precincts of the mikdash, it becomes invalid. It's a psul we call yotze. Af at im yatzat chutz l'aretz at nifsal. So if you leave Eretz Yisrael, you're nifsal. And Yitzchak indeed was the only one of our avot who never left the land, who's born there, died there, and never left. But this is the point at which he's about to leave, and Hashem stops him. Now, Rashi, in his comment, abbreviates it. And by the way, there's a whole study done on how Rashi uses Midrash and how he modifies the words or selectively uses them. Rashi says, At olat v'ma v'ein chutz la'aretz kedai lacha. Chutz la'aretz is beneath you. But this is a much stronger statement. This is as if to say you would lose your special status if you were to leave. Now, how does Yitzchak become an olat v'ma? How could Yitzchak be considered a korban? So let's continue. In the Akedah itself, we have a later Midrash, Midrash Agadah. What does Avram name the place? He names the place Hashem sees. The drasha is, I want Hashem to see it as if, look at it as if I actually shechted my son. And as Avram is seeing, and this, by the way, fits some other late Midrashim where Avram begs God, please, let me at least shed some blood. Let me make a mini shechita. Behar Hashem Yera'eh, Machar Shiavo Banav Shel Yitzchak Lipalef Fanecha Timchol Lahem Al Avonoteihem. In other words, he's saying, why is this place called Hashem Yireh? Asher Yamer Hayom, because your children are going to come later and say, Hashem, please consider as if Father shechted him and forgive. Consider Yitzchak's sacrifice and Avram's sacrifice and forgive us. In other words, that the Akedah now becomes not just a momentous occasion, but it becomes the flashpoint for history, for all of the progeny. What is Yera'eh? Bahar Shem Yera'eh. Yera'eh lefanecha kilu eferosh leYitzchak savur lefanecha v'timcho lahem. We'll find this again in another Midrash. It should be seen as if Yitzchak's ashes are lying in front of you and you forgive them. Mikan amru sherosh hashana ya bizman shenekad Yitzchak. And now, out of nowhere, the Midrash says, this is why they said that the Akedah happened on Rosh Hashanah. Now, if indeed it's the case that the Akedah happened on Rosh Hashanah, we could sort of see the parallel between reading B'chodesh HaShlishi on Shavuot and Makat B'chorot on Pesach and the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah, because it's events that are celebrating. However, we can't, because Pesach is explicitly about Yitziat Mitzrayim. Shavuot developed into Chag Matan Torateinu. At no point anywhere is Rosh Hashanah considered Yom Akedat Yitzchak. It's not called that, and not referenced that way in any case. We have a few midrashim that make that connection, but it's much more difficult to make that tie and to say that's why the Kriyat HaTorah is Akedat Yitzchak, because according to one midrash, the Akedat happened today. It's very difficult, and it fits in with the theme that we have elsewhere, which is why do we read about Pashem Pakarat Sarah, and why do we read Aven Yakir Le'Ephraim, why do we read Chana? Because all three of those, Sarah, Chana, and Rachel, were remembered by God on Rosh Hashanah. So it's sort of the same kind of idea, but it's even weaker. But I'll show you how it gets stronger. In that same Midrashic collection, so late Midrashic collection on Vayikra, at the end of the Tochacha, notice the pasuk says, I will remember my brit with Yaakov and with Yitzchak, and I'll remember my brit with Avraham, and I'll remember the land. Notice there's no mention of remembering with Yitzchak. B'Yitzchak lo nemar zechira, why? L'visha efaro shel Yitzchak nizkar lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu tamid. Yitzchak's ashes are always in front of God, as it were. And Tzarich Lomar Zechira Shekvar Zachor V'Omed. He's always remembered. Yitzchak's always in God's forefront of his consciousness, whatever that may mean. As opposed to Avram and Yaakov, we got to remind God about that, about the land. But the presence of Yitzchak in front of God is something that's perennial. And now, to kind of complete the picture, there is a breita in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, a long breita that talks about the different ritual actions we're commanded to do at different seasons and what the reason for them is. It's a beautiful drasha. Rayuda Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rishum Rabbi Akiva. Name Amra Toravu Omer Pesach. Why did God say bring an Omer worth of barley on Pesach? Because Pesach is when the grain starts to grow, meaning it starts to be harvestable. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what did God say? Haviyu lefanai omer b'pesach, kedei sheitbarech lachem tvoa shebasadot. You bring an omer to me so that all of the grains in the field, which is now the barley grains and then the wheat grains, all get blessed. In other words, at the beginning of the harvest season of grains, bring me some grain, and then I'll bless all of the grains. And this is difficult, but Hashem said, why did Hashem say, bring two loaves of wheat bread on Shavuot? Because Shavuot's the beginning of the fruit trees harvest, the dates and the figs, etc. And therefore, now, of course, it's difficult because Shtei Alechem is grain, but nonetheless, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you bring these korbanot, this korban to me, this one little korban, and I'll bless all of the fruit of the season. And now he skips. Why did Hashem command us? Whether minhagin v'im, whether it's asmachta, however it is, halacha l'moshe Sinai, but nisuch hamayim, the libation of water on the chag. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, nischu lefanai mayim b'chag, kedei shetbarchu lachem gishmei shana. And this, by the way, this notion informs so much of what we do on Shavuot. All of Hashanah are informed by this idea. You offer up water in front of me so that I will bless all the water of the season, the whole the winter. And then it continues. V'imru lefanai b'rosh Hashanah malchuyot zichronot v'shofarot. It's all part of the same braita, which is on Rosh Hashanah, I want you to declare these three concepts. Malchuyot, why? Kedesh tam lichuni alechem. I want you to declare malchut so that you crown me as your king. Zichronot. So that I remember you for the good. Uvameh, ha-shofar. Meaning, what's going to raise that memory? The shofar. To which Rabbi Avahu does something interesting. Rabbi Avahu, who is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, so he's much later, he parrots the language of Rabbi Akiva and does the following. I'm Rabbi Avahu, lama tokin v'shofar shalayil. Why do we use a ram's horn on Rosh Hashanah? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, tikush lefanai b'shofar shel ayil. Notice, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's the same phrasing. I want you to use a ram's horn, kedei she'ezkor lachem akedat Yitzchak ben Avraham. Now, this has nothing to do with when the akedah happened. Saying, I want you to blow a ram's horn so that I remember akedat Yitzchak on your behalf. And I will consider it as if you tied yourselves up and bound yourself before me as an offering. Now, in this braita, and then Rabbi Avahu's addendum, which is critical addendum, the Akedah is not associated with Rosh Hashanah temporally. It's not as if it's the anniversary of it. It takes it out of reading Makat Bechorot on Pesach and reading Matan Torah on Shavuot, because it's commemorating the events of that day. It's making it much, much bigger. Because what is the whole purpose of Rosh Hashanah? The Torah calls it Yom HaZikaron. And the way that that notion develops in Chazal is Yom HaZikaron is not a day in which we're supposed to remember something, but we're supposed to create a memory for God, as it were, raise the memory of us in front of God so that he will judge us favorably. And so therefore, what's the event, the singular event that we can point to as being the greatest act of valor and the greatest act of courage and the greatest act of absolute selfless devotion to God? It's the Akedah. And so all of these notions of Yitzchak's Afer being in front of God all the time, and that whenever the children come to pray to God, he'll forgive them because they remember Akedat Yitzchak, is all tied in with that. It is the epitome of Zchut Avot. And so therefore, when you come back and look at the opinion here, I'd like to suggest the following. That in the Tosefta, when it said Berosh Hashanah, Dabar B'nei Yisrael Achar, right? V'yesh Omrim B'Hashem Pakar Atzarah, what it means is V'Hashem Pakar Atzarah through the Akedah, because the Akedah is really Hilchot Hayom. It's really what the day is about. And then when the Braita says, now that we have 2 days, sorry, when the Bavli says, now that we have 2 days, very simply, we take that story and we tell it in two parts. The first part is basically about Yishmael. The second part is about Yitzchak. That's beautiful. We're going to have to, next week, talk about the two parts and how they relate to each other. But for right now, why is it that Akedat Yitzchak is even there as the Kriyat HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah? It seems that it's there because the way that Chazal developed the theme of the Akedah, The Akedah is the single most powerful act that stands for us as a merit before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this being a Yom HaZikaron, this is the time in which we want to bring the memory of great things before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that he'll remember us the Tova. And so what we'll do, Mir Tashem, next week, is we're going to look through the entire narrative and see how the different parts combine to create the story of the Akedah. It's not just Vayelim Nisat Abraham. It's more than that. It starts earlier than that. So what we're going to do is we're going to explore the Akedah within the larger within two contexts, the three contexts. The larger context of what we're looking at now, Hashem Pakar Hatzara. The bigger context than that, which is the context of the Avraham cycle. And we're going to see how the Akedah really is the culmination of the entire Avraham story. And then the Akedah within the context of Sefer Bereshit. So taking a very big challenge for next week, but Amir Tashem will be up for it. And so hopefully we will meet next week and continue with our study of the Akedah.